Deep within the Geek Cave, there lives a sarcastic woman who jumped the snark years ago. With her cynicism talisman forever upon her neck, she guides you through the cinematic wasteland. It's time for the More Than Monthly Movie Review from the GRD Cinemistress, Carol the Cat.
Hi, this is Carol the Cinemistress, and I went to the movies. So last night I saw a sneak peek of A Wrinkle in Time, the new Disney film directed by Ava DuVernay and based on the science fantasy novel by Madeline L'Engle. As usual, the review will be spoiler-free. I will have some spoilers at the end, but I will give you a fair warning. I remember reading A Wrinkle in Time long, long ago, and I recall that I enjoyed it, but for the life of me, I could not remember the plot before seeing the film. Obviously, although I enjoyed the books, they didn't make that J.R.R. Tolkien impression on me where I really wanted to revisit the books over and over and over. And I don't have Madeline L'Engle tattoos on my back. That being said, I do remember enjoying them, so I really wanted to view this movie with like an 11 or 12 year old Carol's eyes, which is the intended audience. So my review will be a little bit tempered, except in one aspect, which we'll get to in a little bit. So the overall plot. Our story deals with Meg Murphy, who is a 13-year-old who lives with her mother, who is a scientist who specializes in the micro-universe, and her incredibly precocious adopted little brother, Charles Wallace. Trust me, you will get tired of hearing that name. Meg's father, Alex, who is a NASA scientist, is currently missing. 4 years prior, he was experimenting with what he called the Tesseract, the concept of folding space and time to move between planets in the universe, and he disappeared. Everyone, of course, believes he just ran off and left his wife and kids. The incredibly precocious Charles Wallace, of course, believes otherwise, and he befriends three very interesting women. Mrs. Watsit, who's a little bit of a dingbat. Mrs. Who, who speaks in nothing but quotes. And the great goddess Oprah, who rules over them all! Or Mrs. Witch, whichever you prefer. These three women are, in fact, kind of guardians of the galaxy type beings, and they tell Meg and Charles Wallace that their father's theories on the Tesseract are in fact true, and he successfully tessered between worlds and is now being held captive by the It, which is a conglomeration of all of the bad feelings and evil and ickiness in the galaxy. And since the Missuses are beings of light and they can't go into the darkness, it's up to Meg and Charles Wallace and Meg's friend Calvin to rescue Alex from the It. So that's the general plot. Let's get on to the good, the bad, and the ugly. Okay, first off, the good. If I'm viewing this with younger eyes, there's a lot of good in this film. Visually, it's actually quite stunning when you're allowed to see it. More on that in a little bit. The overall story is a very important one, telling kids that they are not defined by their faults, and sometimes their faults can actually help them. They stay true to L'Engle's book for the most part. They do modernize it a little bit, in particular with the quotes that Mrs. Who speaks in. The costumes are also quite beautiful when you're allowed to see them, and the acting overall is very good. In particular, Derek McCabe, who plays little Charles Wallace. Charles Wallace! Charles Wallace! Charles Wallace! He is very good, and kudos to him because he has a lot of very ponderous and preposterous dialogue. And he does it with utter conviction, and you actually believe it. And this is his first movie, so kudos to little Derek McCabe. It's kind of nice that Calvin's main job in this film is to stand around and look pretty, which is usually relegated to a female character. But it's nice that the boy has to do it this time, because he doesn't add a whole lot to the plot. He's just there as Meg's romantic interest. And I love the overall message of this movie. And I think that is the most important thing to take away, and kind of overshadows the bad things that I'm about to say. So the bad. Okay, so I have to come out of 11, 12-year-old mold and come back to my adult self because I have to comment on the directing of this film. I know Ava DuVernay is a very talented director, but some of the decisions here were just, I don't understand. in particular her use of close-ups. This film is shot so close that there are times when you just can't see anything but the face of the character in front of you. And when you're telling such a visually impressive story, I need to see the costumes, I need to see the scenery, I need to see where the hell they're standing. There's an entire sequence with the happy medium where Meg is trying to balance on rocks, but you don't know what she's doing because you're focusing just on her face and you have no idea what her feet are doing. There's a moment where Calvin compliments Meg's hair, but they don't show her hair. They're so close on her face, you can't see her beautiful hair. I seriously thought the screener that we saw, that the ratio was off and that it was had it overshot the screen and I was just seeing things way too close. I really hope that that's the case, but somehow I don't think it is. You have all of these beautiful costumes and makeup jobs and you're not allowed to appreciate them because the camera goes so close that you're seeing every brush stroke on Reese Witherspoon's face. And it kind of destroys the beauty of certain scenes. Again, the film is visually stunning when you're allowed to actually see the visuals. The ugly. I swear to God, there were moments where I thought Oprah's eyebrows were going to jump off the screen and stab me in the eyes. And that was scary. This film just needed to ease back on the metallic disco makeup. And I really wish Oprah would be allowed to act again. Here, she's just Oprah in metallic makeup and a corset. So, overall thoughts. Going back to preteen Carol mode, this movie is pretty amazing. The visuals, when you're allowed to see them, are astounding. The acting, with the exception of Oprah, is very good across the board. And the overall message is an incredibly important one. So the preteen in me gives this the C.S. Lewis stamp of approval. It's no Tolkien, but it's pretty good. Okay, so here there be spoilers.
Spoilers.
Spoilers? What spoilers?
You tell me.
Spoilers.
So there's not a lot for the movie I want to spoil. It's a pretty straightforward story, and if you've read the book or if you know any Disney film, you know how this is going to end. That being said, there were some changes from the book that I thought were very interesting. The twins are missing, so if this is going to be a series, I have no idea what they're going to do with that fourth book. I suppose they can just introduce them in a later movie if this becomes a series. But overall, it's a very Disney film. The kids will enjoy it. The adults might enjoy it. At least for the first viewing. I don't know if this will hold up for repeated viewings. With that, I'm going to take my 11-year-old butt and I'm going to slam my bedroom door and I'm going to read Tolkien all night. Which is kind of what my age redacted butt does now. Did I ever grow up?
GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative Works 3.0 United States License. Come check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and hit up our website at geekradiodaily.com. Find more of Carol the Cat at guardiansofthegeekery.com and purplehairedpixie.com.